Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Returning to the brutal killing of a serving soldier on the streets of London yesterday, and in the last few minutes he has been named as Drummer Lee Rigby. He was with the 2nd Battalion of the Royal Regiment of Fusiliers. He was 25 years of age and he came from Manchester. He had served two tours in Afghanistan, most recently in 2009. Philip Boucher-Hayes has been considering the impact of the attack.
He was just like someone that has decided that anything can happen, and you know, and for them to still be around there and waiting for the cops, or waiting for anything to happen, you know, it was...
So they weren't running away, were standing waiting?
They were standing waiting.
Reports by reporters about media reports are probably only of interest to reporters. But this interview of an eyewitness by Channel 4 News tells you most of what you need to know about the intentions of the two suspect terrorists.
He was trying to really talk to people and get people to take pictures of him, and also people were videoing. I could have had a videotape myself, but I was scared in case...
He was approaching people
and trying to say something to them, trying to, you know, give an... I don't know if it was a reason or an excuse or whatever.
The actions of these two men in Woolwich were designed to create a media platform for whatever message they're propagandising. So in this case, the media becomes the message, and how that message has been reported has to be examined.
That savage assault that happened in the middle of the day in London.
You can probably hear the helicopters hovering above us. Witnesses say they hit the victim with their car, then they hacked him to death.
One of the suspects even defended the massacre on video.
Clutching a knife and cleaver, one of the suspects appeared to justify what's just happened.
An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Nobody in the media knows if they are part of a larger conspiracy which will open up a new domestic front, or if they are what terrorist experts call self-starters, or even if they are just two mentally ill loners. At the very least, though, they seem to have a very strong intuition about how the media would respond to the hideousness of their act of violence.
The other guy with the gun was just there pacing a bit, then, you know, they were just like waiting for... I don't know, because they should have gone taken off, but they were waiting for something, you know, to happen, maybe the cops to come.
Encouraging filming, explaining their actions to people who happened upon the carnage, both would suggest that their main motive was to acquire a megaphone for their message of fear and divisiveness. A megaphone which has been readily handed to them on the front pages of today's papers.
You will never be safe.
Quoted The Guardian from suspect terrorist Michael Adebolejo's remarks recorded at the scene. And so too did the Daily Telegraph.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We won't stop fighting you until you leave us alone.
This morning's commuters, even if they don't read the Metro, won't have missed the headline.
You will never be safe. We will not stop fighting.
So left-leaning and right-leaning papers both weighed up the pros and cons of censoring themselves over doing the killer's bidding and opted for the latter. Alone among the British dailies, The Times was the only paper that stuck to headlining facts.
Soldier hacked to death in London terror attack.
ITV secured the footage from the passerby who had filmed Michael Adebolejo within 26 minutes of having digitally transferred it into their news production system. ITN broadcast it. 2 hours later, the reporting of the story had brought balaclavaed thugs from the English Defence League out onto the streets too. Congregating both inside and outside a pub called the Queen's Arms in Woolwich, they were intent on playing the same game as the two killers. The audience for their antics and the statements of their leader, Tommy Robinson, being primarily the media, who at times seemed to outnumber them 2-1.
What are you doing down here tonight?
Enough's enough. People are fed up. We have weak leaders, weak police forces. Everyone's tiptoeing around naming the problem. The problem is political Islam.
Dr. Matthew Goodwin is an expert on groups from the far right. He has noted on this programme in the past that the EDL is badly organised and in decline. But that does not mean that the platform offered by these events won't play to their advantage.
The English Defence League, even though it's been attracting a great deal of publicity, it's not really been connecting with the public in the way that it initially hoped. These kinds of things would lead us perhaps to dismiss this movement and dismiss its challenge. But I would say, well, if we just take a step back and just look at this from a broader view, and if we look at how people think about immigration, if we look at how concerned they are about that issue, and if we think about evidence of public anxiety over particular minority groups, all of these are really producing quite a fertile climate for parties and movements like the BNP and EDL, even if they're not exploiting it like their European neighbours are.
Speculation is rife and in some cases contradictory about the two killers. They may have tried to link up with extremists Al-Shabaab in Somalia. They may have been inspired by homegrown Al-Muhajirun in the UK. They may be self-starters who taught themselves entirely from the internet. One may, in the words of a former schoolmate, just be a good laugh, a really good bloke. All these nuggets of information and selective leaks from security services are unconfirmed and not attributed to named individuals.
This young man was heavily influenced by Al-Muhajirun in 2003 when he converted to Islam.
BBC Newsnight's Richard Watson.
So he is a convert to Islam. He's of Nigerian origin, although I understand he's a British citizen. He is known to the authorities, so I'm told. He was either arrested or stopped on his way to Somalia, allegedly to join Al-Shabaab, just last year. Now, if that turns out to be correct, he will have been firmly on the radar.
27 hours on, and the narrative has changed, but only slightly.
A mother is being called a hero for stopping the attack from getting worse. Charlie Daggett is at the scene in Woolwich. Charlie, good morning.
The Cub Scout leader who confronted the suspects became a useful character for the Prime Minister to try and reshape what society's response to the atrocities should be.
Confronting extremism is a job for us all. And the fact that our communities will unite in doing this was vividly demonstrated by the brave Cub Pack leader, Ingrid Lawyer-Kennett, who confronted one of the attackers on the streets of Woolwich yesterday afternoon.
Ingrid Lawyer-Kennett's interviews on breakfast television and in all the papers, though, have unintentionally furthered the views that the two men were seeking to spread.
He was not on drug, he was not drunk.
Right. So what was he saying to you? What did he say to you?
Well, I asked him, he said, don't touch, I killed him. And I said, why? He said, he's a British soldier. He killed people, he killed Muslim people in Muslim countries and they had nothing to do here. And I said, okay, so what would you like? And so I tried to make him talk about what he felt, and he said that all the bomb droppings and killing blindly women's children.
Terror does not exist without media, and media has a very fine line to walk. It's not our job to censor facts, but to provide them. But the 800 people who have complained to regulators and broadcasters by lunchtime today about ITN's broadcast of the material perhaps have an innate sense of what was going to happen and who was really playing who on this occasion.
And that report was from Philip Boucher-Hayes. More coming up.